Welcome back into the Bad Movies, Worst Opinions podcast. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. I have to take full responsibility for the last couple of weeks. I've been so busy with my 9-to-5 and the Super Bowl that I just didn't have the time to properly dedicate to this podcast. But I'm back now. I'm feeling good. The weather is bad outside today, so not really sure who our special guest is going to be for next week. But I do want to get back on track and giving you guys podcasts every Tuesday. You guys give us your time. The least that we can do is be consistent. We'll be back to our normal schedule coming up in March. So just bear with us as we get through the month of February. That's been a little bit disjointed. And again, I'll take the responsibility for that. This is actually one of my favorite rom-coms. Here's our review of The Breakup.
After 2 years together, Gary and Brooke have reached a critical point in their relationship.
Fine, I'll help you do the dishes.
Now that's not what I want.
You just said that you want me to help you do the dishes.
I want you to want to do the dishes.
Why would I want to do dishes?
I'm done.
Welcome back into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie, and the only rule of the pod is that we must watch a movie that's ranked below a 6.0 on IMDb. I know today's podcast is coming in a day's late. You guys understand, at least with our 9-to-5 day jobs, things are a little bit hectic, but we're always gonna make time to watch a movie. This movie doesn't even count as a bad movie. I picked this movie because in February we're doing black movies for Black History Month, and that means Rob is not going to be on the podcast because Rob is not black. So we're going to start a tradition. The last movie in January is going to be a rom-com because we can't do one for February. We're going to do The Breakup today, Rob. This is one of my favorite rom-coms. It might actually be my number one. I really enjoy Hitch, but if you're asking me to put on a rom-com, The Breakup might be my favorite one.
This is a good rom-com. It's not my favorite. Crazy Stupid Love is my favorite with Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore. That one's better. But I like this movie, but I think in this podcast we're going to learn you like this movie a lot more than I do.
This movie is rated a 5.8 on IMDb. This movie came out in 2006. The plot, a couple's breakup proceeds to get uglier and nastier by the moment as each tries to keep the luxurious condo from the other. The official release date for The Breakup was June 2nd of 2006. I just graduated high school.
Oh, look at that.
At this point, the runtime was 105. This might be one of the most successful movies that we've done on this podcast. The budget was $52 million. It made $205.7 million at the box office. So a smashing commercial success was The Breakup. Also a movie that just about everybody had on DVD. Hitch was a movie. Everybody had Hitch on DVD. The Breakup, also a very popular movie on DVD.
Yeah, I think that's because it had Vince Vaughn, who everyone loves. It's also a time where DVDs were at their peak of their powers because they were pretty cheap. You can get the DVD. And then Jennifer Aniston may have been one of the most popular women on earth this time. This is right post Friends. Yeah, this is makes a lot of sense.
The cast of this movie, Vince Vaughn is Gary. Jennifer Aniston is Brooke. Jon Favreau is John. That is Gary's best friend. Cole Hauser is in this movie. Joey Lauren Adams, she is Addie Jones. Judy Davis, she is Marilyn Dean. Justin Long is in this movie, Jason Bateman. This is actually a pretty decent cast.
Very star-studded.
For a movie. Let me give you the top five this week of very 2006 box office. The Breakup debuts at number one at $39 million. X-Men was number two at $34 million. Over the Hedge was number three that week at 20.6. The Da Vinci Code at 18.6. And Mission Impossible 3 rounded out the top five. Those are the top five movies the weekend.
They're still making Mission Impossible movies. Good luck. Lord,
still 18, making X-Men movies
18 years later. I mean, the X-Men have kind of gone through a change of studio. There have been a lot of the change with the X-Men, but Tom Cruise and Bad Robot just keep pumping those movies out. Good Lord.
I will say this before we really dive in deep to the plot of this movie. As much as I love this movie, I did see it through a different lens watching it for the podcast. And when you're writing out the plot of the movie, the way we go through the script, I started noticing, oh, we didn't need this. We didn't need this. Like, I started to see the movie a little bit differently. I mean, I've probably seen this movie 10, 15 times. I absolutely love this movie, but I did see the movie differently. I will say, what I do love so much about The Breakup is, I think it is a very realistic depiction of a relationship. The movie doesn't wrap up neatly. Everybody isn't happy at the end. What they fight about is very realistic. How they carry out the fight, I think, is very realistic. And the movie is realistic. And this movie just lets Vince Vaughn be Vince Vaughn. And if you like that kind of humor and you like him, you will love this movie.
I think you're right about Vince Vaughn. This might be where Vince Vaughn just had total carte blanche. This, he's... He's basically, he in this and in Wedding Crashers are just peak Vince Vaughn as far as him being himself. Where me and you disagree on this movie is, I think at times it's very realistic, and at other times it wants you to suspend reality and understand that, like, look, it's a movie. Like, okay, a breakup, the friends, you know, take their sides. Hey, you lean on your family and things after the breakup. That's all, you know, I've accepted that as a realistic view of a breakup. But there are other parts where it wants you to suspend reality for the movie. I don't think it's consistent. Like, rom-coms inherently are usually like, oh, it's a little bit goofy, but we lean into it. This one leans into it at times, then leans away from it, and then jags back to it, which I kind of don't like. Pick a lane.
This is one of the movies where I think the opening scene...
Do you want one of the hot dogs? You can have a hot... You want a hot dog? Do you want a hot dog, miss?
No, thank you. That's okay.
Oh, you can have a hot dog.
No, I don't want...
Excuse me, sir. Do you mind passing the lady one of the hot dogs?
I'm good.
You don't have to. You can have your own.
It's a really nice view. I really don't. Okay, give me a hot dog.
Can we give her a hot dog?
Thanks.
I got the big guy can't eat all of them. Have one. Have you ever had one before?
A hot dog?
At the ballpark.
I believe I have.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Well, enjoy this one.
Thanks.
Do you like mustard?
No, I'm okay.
It's much better with the topping.
In the first 3 minutes, it will tell you whether or not you love this movie or not. If you don't love their initial meet,
the meet cute,
and their interaction of how they meet each other, and you don't laugh at Vince Vaughn there, he tells some form of that joke 40 different times in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't love the first 3-4 minutes of this movie, you will not love this movie. Jon Favreau's character is consistent throughout the movie. Gary is consistent, and Brooke, her demeanor, how she handles things, is very consistent in the movie. I love the opening scene.
I think to further the point we just made, if you don't like Vince Vaughn, this first scene has not pulled you in. Because Vince Vaughn's being funny, he's being goofy, he's being flirty. His buddy's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Like, what's going on? Brooke is just being, like, basically there. But if you are an anti-Vince Vaughn person, which I've never met that kind of person, but they probably exist in society, maybe post True Detective season 2, people turned on Vince Vaughn. If you don't like Vince Vaughn, you hate that opening scene, and he can never get you back. Because I think that's just Vince Vaughn being Vince Vaughn.
Do you think the naming a hot dog place the Wiener Circle, do you think that is a good or a bad name for a hot dog restaurant?
I've actually never... I feel like hot dog...
Can you imagine me texting you, hey, let's go to the Wiener Circle? What are you talking about?
I feel like hot dog places have to lean into the bit. I mean, if you own a hot dog restaurant, you're aware of how hot dogs are an inherently phallic food, and you got to lean into it a little bit.
I also feel kind of bad for the guy that was with Jennifer Aniston.
The corporate-y stooge type guy?
He did look goofy.
Yeah.
He looked goofy. Number one, you're not buying my girl a hot dog.
Uh-uh.
And then we're going to share it together? No. Me and you are having a conversation.
And from down the row.
Yeah.
It's one thing if, like, you know, you take a girl on a date, you sit down at, let's just say, Kaufman. I know it's Wrigley in the movie. Let's say Kaufman for local. And all of a sudden, the dude next to you just starts hitting on your girl. You're like, this, I feel a way about this, but you're telling me 8 seats down, you're flirting with that guy? You can't even talk to him. He's 9 seats away.
Is Wrigley Field the best stadium in America?
Ooh. So,
I have never been to Fenway.
I've never been to Fenway.
I've seen Fenway from the outside.
I've never done Fenway.
But I've been to Dodger Stadium.
I've never done Yankee Stadium, although that's new Yankee.
I haven't been to Yankee Stadium either. I've been to the Cowboys Stadium. I've been to Lambeau. Is Wrigley Field the best stadium in America?
I haven't done Lambeau. I haven't done Fenway. I've never done Cameron Indoor. I know that's a little bit different ball, different animal, but I've never done that. I had a mixed reaction when I went to Fenway because my seats, like, in the stadium were, like, behind a pillar. Like, you had to kind of, like, kink your neck the whole time. And my buddy who lived in Chicago at the time was like, it's part of the allure and the magic of Wrigley. And I'm like, then it stinks. Like, if I'm watching from behind a metal pole, a brick pole, it stinks. But then we went to the bleachers out in the outfield for the, like, 5th, 6th, and 7th. And that was an incredible time.
The time, yeah.
But that's, you know why it's an incredible time? It has nothing to do with the baseball. It's just a party.
It's all of it, though.
Power and Light opened up a annex at Kauffman, you'd be like, this is the most fun part. Well, yeah, you're Power and Light. You're not actually watching the baseball game.
This might be one of those cool things I've got a chance to see in my life. I actually have a picture of both of these things. I have a picture of a rainbow over Wrigley. I was at the game and a rainbow happened. And I also have a picture of a rainbow at the Grand Canyon. Like, two of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, oh, wow, it's a rainbow out there.
I think where it's different for me with Wrigley is those other places that we've mentioned is like in the Pantheon. I think you're going there for the sport, not seeing the stadium's cool. Wrigley felt like you're going to a party where a baseball game broke out. So it just was a little weird to me.
So our movie starts at Wrigley Field with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston meeting for the first time while in the stands. He's with his friend. She's there with someone else, but the two bond over hot dogs and a relationship forms. We get a montage of their times together over the credits and the movie is off. Gary is a tour guide in Chicago. Brooke works for an art gallery. While the two are getting ready to host her dinner party, Gary brings her 3 lemons for her centerpiece when she wants 12, which sets up the underlining tension that explains the rest of the evening. Well, the night ends with a rather interesting dinner party, and it's time to clean up. Gary wants to play San Andreas. She wants help with the dishes. Here comes the big fight. This fight has been building, you can tell, for quite some time. Well, Brooke has had it. She's done. There are, I think, a couple of memorable scenes and quotes from this movie. When they're at the dinner party and he hits it with the Gary on the kick drum, come, come. Mm-hmm. Gary with the absolutely quotable mid-2000s. I don't care if it's an action movie, rom-com, the dinner scene with John Michael Higgins playing the instruments and singing is an hilarious scene.
Mm-hmm. And then later you get the when they've broken up and he has his barbershop quartet, you know, practicing in the guest bedroom
in the movie.
Yeah, and then he doesn't beat up Vince Vaughn, but he's like, he beats Vince Vaughn up. This fight scene is hilarious to me because when she's like, and we never go on trips, Gary's like, we just went to South Bend last year.
What really, I guess a couple of things really stand out to me, and I noticed this the first time that I watched, and I think you know this more as you just get more relationships, is just, why didn't you just go in and talk to her? Like, her saying she's done does not now mean your years of being together ends instantly.
I also think, and maybe this is like this is part of my frustration with the movie. That moment's kind of real, but then we suspend reality. Cause yeah, he doesn't go in there immediately and like talk to her, but you're telling me the next day where it's like cooler heads, you guys can't be like, all right, we both had a little bit of a moment last night. We blew off some steam. We've been together for multiple years. We live together. Let's talk about this. The idea that fight, they went their separate ways, and now it's just, we done is nonsensical to me.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it's a movie, but the movie, their
actions. But of course, trying to be real, which is why I kind of get at times frustrated with the film.
Their actions just start to escalate so quickly, and you're just thinking like,
nope,
I don't think this is how people's relationship would end. And I also notice this more now is they talk more to their friends about their relationship than to one another.
That's not
normal. And usually when you start to put 5-6 other people's opinion into your relationship, usually is when the problem starts. He's listening to the bartender. She's listening to her homegirl who was in a happy, loving marriage, and you're getting advice about it. It just made things very sticky.
Yeah, that part, like I said, the escalation, I guess, movie felt too fast to me for a movie that's trying to be grounded in reality. But you're right. If you are starting to have doubts about your relationship and you start talking to people outside it, they're only going to fuel your fire. They're not going to squelch it because they don't see the day to day. It is odd that at no point those two talk to each other, considering they're supposed to be like all in all the time. It was odd.
I do think that like why I like this movie is maybe it confirms some of my own stereotype that I have about women and relationships is, I think that men during a fight will focus on the event that just happened. You did this to me. I feel wrong. And I thought that the movie did a really good job because for the most part, I think women are fight compilers. She took the lemons. She took the dishes. And now they're saying, why didn't we go to the ballet? Wait, how are these two things even related? How do we even get here? Which just furthers the escalation and the escalation where in the end, I think Vince Vaughn has a pretty normal male reaction. Yo, I just want to come home and be left alone. I do everything you ask me to do, and now I come home. This is my place. This is my time of peace. I want to watch SportsCenter. I want to play the video game, and you are making that difficult for me.
I get what you're saying. I don't think it's gender related because my wife is a therapist, and she says a common term that couples struggle with is it's like harboring resentment. Hey, we had a small tiff about the lemons. Instead of like being like fine, whatever, and then just filing that in the back of your head, and then the next fight, you know, building a Rolodex of anger, you just need to express and work through the issues present. I don't think it's gender related. Men do it too, where it's like, you know, you get into a fight about whatever. Oh, I wanted to watch the game and you ruined it. Remember that one time you did this 5 weeks ago? You gotta let the 5 weeks ago fight be the 5 weeks ago fight. Get through it. you know, move on, accept it. Where in this movie, it does show instant couples struggle with, hey, they can't let go of what happened 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, and it's now blossoming into a bigger deal.
So night one of the breakup, Gary sleeps on the couch, and this starts their cold war. The day after the fight, Gary gets a pool table that he has always wanted in the living room. Brooke retaliates by getting him kicked off the couples bowling team.
No, Gary, this is couples bowling. And since you and I are no longer a couple, because you have chosen not to participate constructively in our relationship, we're now singles. So there's not room for two singles on the team. Why are you confused?
I don't have any idea what's happening. I've come to play in the team.
Look, Gary, I just don't think it's a good idea for you and I to be around each other any more than we have to right now.
I completely agree. Maybe you should go play some pinball.
No, I think you should leave.
Okay. Brooke, when a man makes a commitment to a team, he honors that commitment. He doesn't let emotions or personal issues get in the way of victory. And I've made a commitment to this team.
I wrote this down, and this was...
This scene, by the way, is hilarious
it
to
is,
me.
It is a very scene. Yeah, it is a very scene. I wrote this down as I was taking the notes. We didn't need the club scene with the brother. When he goes out with his brother and Cole Hauser is an absolute
sicko.
Weirdo. That character just would not exist in a movie today. And I understand it's a 2006 movie, so I'm not being critical in that way. But just the brother storyline, I think, on Vince Vaughn's part, I don't think we needed his older brother bothering him about the tour logs. It just didn't really add to the plot and the story of the movie. We also didn't need Cole Hauser's character either, who was just a weirdo.
So I actually think all three characters worked if they did them better. The tour logs thing I liked because it kind of highlighted that, you know, the fight they had where Brooke was saying all this stuff, she's basically pointing to you're not very good at personal responsibility. And then we see it through his brother, too, which I like. Okay, hey, you know, just because you're fighting doesn't mean she's wrong. We also see that sometimes with stuff in her life, too, through her friends. Like, I like that. The problem with Cole Hauser's character, and he's now really famous from Yellowstone, the problem with Cole Hauser's character is what they were showing could have been done well. Hey, here's your younger brother. He is a go-out-to-the-clubs, you know, one-night stand, wham-bam, thank-you-ma'am kind of guy. You could have made him like the, hey, you're not used to talking to women because you've been a relationship guy. There's that scene where he's like, you know, you've been a house cat. You're not out fending for your food. You could have done that scene and made it so like, oh, he's just goofy and bad with women where Cole is like suave and good. But then for some reason, they made him like a weird BDSM, like Christian Grey from, you know, 50 Shades of Grey weirdo. That was the pivot we didn't need. You could have done that well. You just weirdly added this, I'm going to wrap you up in saran wrap, goofy, odd thing. This made you cringe the entire scene.
Yeah, no, that scene has just, that scene, talk about like not aging well. Uh-huh. It wasn't good in real time when it happened. That scene has just always been
maybe
very weird.
Maybe it was just me and my friends. Even in 06, we're like, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, that part is weird. I don't know if you go get a table the very next day.
No.
And maybe the time is just elapsed and they're not giving us a good judge of time. I don't think you would just instantly, we broke up at 10 p.m. Now at 10 a.m. I now have a pool table in my house. I don't know if that would have happened. And you're right. When he says, when he goes to get his shirt and he tells him to rent Band of Brothers, it makes me die laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And then he asks for his wrist guard back and tells him that he hopes his wrist snaps. Hilarious scene in the movie. So back at home after their first day of being broken up, the two get into yet another argument, and the topic of moving out is addressed for the first time. Neither side wants to do it. Meanwhile, during the fight, Vince Vaughn drops what could possibly be the best line in movie history.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have a grandfather on the board of some fancy college. Keyword being was, did he touch the Filipino exchange student? Did he not touch the exchange student? I don't know, Brooke. I wasn't there.
Don't start with the family stuff. Like, your family's so perfect. Your brother's a pervert.
Don't talk to me about the sexual habits of family members. What about your sister?
My sister's been through a lot.
Of dick?
There are some problems, Gary, but can we please just leave it?
Problems? She slept with the entire Arizona Cardinals offensive line. That's not problems. That's she's a problem.
She was on vacation.
She was on vacation. Don't even get me started, by the way, on your brother. If I have to hear that guy sing just one more time, I'd hang myself with wax dental floss. Could the guy just come out of the closet, please?
I told you there are a couple of lines in this movie that are still quotable to this day. If you say my sister has been through a lot, everybody knows the next line of that movie. It is just the way he delivers it, the way she sets him up, that pause in the movie. It is so funny.
This is where, again, I like this movie, where like it goes from, hey, grounded in reality to kind of swings the pendulum back. No real relationship are they signing up if they're having these fights to continue to live with each other. I don't care how nice the house is. I don't care if they can afford it. No one has ever gone through a breakup when they're living with someone and been like, well, we both want the house so bad, we're going to make it work. This is where, like, at its core, why I kind of have a problem with this movie is, it's basically the idea of neither one is moving out, and that's just goofy to me, but it's supposed to be grounded in reality. That's kind of where, like, me and the movie zig and zag and go different directions.
So Gary sets the rule that their space is their space, so the next day, Brooke allows her brother's singing group to practice mm-hmm. in her now bedroom. He takes offense, tries to break up their singing, and gets checked into the SmackDown hotel. Well, the two have scheduled a game night. They should probably cancel, but of course they're not. They're going to honor their commitment. The group starts to play Pictionary, which leads to yet another argument between Gary and Brooke. This time, their friend, a realtor, has seen enough. He suggests it's time for them to go their separate ways, sell the condo, and get on with their lives. She was really bad at Pictionary.
Yeah.
she was bad at Pictionary. She lives there too. Like, mm-hmm. I understand it was a show. Hey, his side of the house is dirty and her side of the house is clean. She has to go to the kitchen at some point, right? You don't get water. You don't eat there. Like, come on now. That place wouldn't have gotten that bad in that
in
short
three,
of period.
3 days? Yeah.
That short of a period of time.
Also, with the game night, you mentioned, like, they probably should have canceled. They probably should have canceled in, what are your friends doing? You're going to pair them up as a team? Hey, they've been broken up for 72 hours, but let's put them, when we know they're in a high-stress moment, let's put them in a team and let's just see what happens. Like, that's bad friendship work.
How long do you think it took the director to convince Jennifer Aniston to do the walking down the hallway naked scene?
That's a great question.
Is that even her body? Because that could probably be a body double.
It could be a body double. I remember there was a podcast I was listening to once. Anna Kendrick was on this movie, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. It might be on this podcast one day. And she talks about how her nude scene in that was a body double. So as an adult, the evolution of understanding the business, I'm betting that's a body double. But, you know, Jennifer Aniston at this point, has she just won Sexiest Woman Alive? Like, maybe she had won it recently. I know she's won
good.
It. I know she's
that.
Won it in the past. Hey, I need you to lean into this to, like, you know, sell the, hey, winning the thing. Maybe with a body double, it didn't take much selling.
So Brooke gets advice from her boss, Marilyn Dean, the head of the art gallery, that she
the whole art gallery thing with Justin Long and I know that's her job, but no part of the art gallery stuff interested me at all.
He was kind of funny with he was saying happy holidays and mm-hmm. it wasn't the holidays. That was funny. I did oddly like when Marilyn Dean was mean to him, was like, get your shit and get out of here.
Yeah.
I did actually like that scene. I did think
but
that
I don't
was
think
fun.
I think it was like, but it didn't really add anything to the film. I think his job with his brothers and the tour logs and like how he's kind of like a slouch and irresponsible a little bit, as in the movie. All we learn about her job is her boss eccentric and Justin Long works there. That's all we've learned.
So Brooke gets advice from Marilyn Dean, the head of the art gallery, and she advises Brooke to show Gary that other men are interested in her. So she sets up a date with a very corny guy. This date is going very poorly, so her friend calls and bails her out of it. Meanwhile, Gary still hasn't filled out those tour logs at work. Brooke is going on date number two, and this time the guy takes a liking to Gary, but you can tell that Gary is actually jealous about this one. So he's going to fight fire with fire, and he invites over some random girls for a game of strip poker, which seemed kind of odd at this big age. I don't know if this is something that you're doing.
35-year-old, you're a call
your
away.
Yeah, no. Especially just as a regular guy. Now, if you're a celebrity, I'm imagining you have some weird random nights. You're a tour guide in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You're just having these random girls to come over to dance, and I don't know. Now watching it, it was very weird. I understand the purpose of it, because this was the first time in the movie that I think you could get the acknowledgement from both sides. Both sides still very much care about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary has that first, like, what am I doing here? Like, this thing has gone much further than it needs to go.
Which, again, circles back to the point I made. At this point in real life, you would talk to each other. Hey, I felt jealous of that guy, so I did this. I still care about you. Let's talk this out. But it felt like, here we go. We're going to keep escalating, escalating, escalating. By the way, the guy that Gary bonded with, the date that actually makes him jealous. As a kid, I legit thought that was Tom Brady. He looks eerily like Tom Brady. It's
I knew
not,
it wasn't Tom Brady, but.
I knew it wasn't now, but like, as a kid, I was like, that looks like Tom Brady. It's not Tom Brady, but he has a Tom Brady kind of look to him.
Yeah, I've seen him in other things. I can't remember where else I've seen him at, but he was.
He is 100% not Tom Brady, but yeah. Like, at a glance, you're like, is that Tom Brady in this movie?
Then when he asked Brooke to give Gary his phone number, oh, just hilarious. So fun. He won him over with the game of Madden. Mm-hmm. He won him over playing Madden. So anyways, the condos has sold, and they have 2 weeks to get out. Back at her job, a guy hits on Brooke, but she tells him that she has a boyfriend. She's starting to have guilt about this whole thing as well. Brooke attempts to throw an olive branch by inviting Gary to a concert. This could be the turning point they need to get them back on track, but he stands her up and misses the show. I don't understand why you stood her up. You gotta know.
And we know from the strip clubs, the strip poker scene, excuse me, like there's that part where like she likes, like at the end of that scene, she goes to her room and you can see Gary's face. He realized, we talked about earlier, like, oh, I've made some mistakes here. If she's not going to invite you to a concert, you clearly still care about her. Go to the concert.
Yeah, or just don't accept the invitation.
Yeah, but don't.
You can't tell her.
Yes.
Yes. Not go to the concert and then say, I didn't know it was that big of a deal. Come on now. You know how women are and you just know how people are. If you agreed to go to the concert and you're expecting to go to the show and now you're sitting at this concert by yourself, yes, that is going to create a conflict. That was just a very silly move on Gary's part. Gary finally does what he should have done the entire movie. He finally goes into the room and just talks to her, and they have a conversation, and Brooke finally admits what her problem is. She doesn't feel appreciated in their relationship, and that is all she wanted.
I don't know how we got here. Our entire relationship. I've gone above and beyond for you, for us. And I mean, I've cooked, picked your shit up off the floor. I've laid your clothes out for you like you were a four-year-old. I support you. I supported you, your work. If we ever had dinner or anything, I make the plans. I take care of everything. And I just don't feel like you appreciate any of it.
Why don't you just say that to me?
Gary, I've tried. I've tried.
Yeah, but never like that. You might have said some things that you meant to imply that, Brooke, but I'm not a mind reader.
Gary's friend also gives him a dose of reality and perspective, and that's what he needs to hear. So Gary comes up with the plan. He's going to clean up the house, cook for her a little bit, but it's too little too late. She doesn't feel the same, and this effectively ends their relationship. There also is the part there where Brooke comes home with this guy and Gary thinks that that's her new boyfriend, but it's not. He's just coming to buy the art piece. I understand the miscommunication there. Yeah, I understand the element of miscommunication there. I do want to get to the ending because you
don't like
the ending of the movie. Why do you hate the ending of this
movie? It's really what I talked about throughout this podcast. This movie zigs and zags between the idea of, hey, this is a breakup and this is what it looks like, and we take a little bit of a comedic view of it, and then it zags to over-escalation and goofy rom-com stuff, which is fine. It's a movie. It's supposed to do that. But if you're trying to sell me it's grounded in reality, you can't zig and zag. And it felt like they were setting up for the aw cute moment, and then we get that weirdo. He has groceries in his life and he just goes on about his day. It was good seeing you. I hated the ending. Just either get back together or don't have that little bump into each other on the street. Either go your separate ways and it's just, hey, we learned the hard way, we weren't together, or get back together. Don't tease it, but not give it to us.
Yeah, but I like the fact that the ending is so ambiguous that makes you always wonder, did they get back together? Because people get back together all the time. Maybe you don't instantly fix it, but you have time apart, you get another relationship, they get another relationship, and maybe down the road, you then see there was still a lot of love between those two, and I think they realized why our relationship
and
ended
that's no
was
reason
very
why,
stupid.
I apologize for interrupting. That's no reason why I didn't like the ending, is we have been, ever since the fight about the lemons, we've been hurtling toward they both still want to be together, they both still care about one another, they both shown it in different ways, and now they've grown as individuals. You've been hinting at this back together moment with the concert, with the, you know, the whole thing. And then we get the moment and you don't give it to us.
what appeals to me this movie is it didn't wrap up neatly. I don't need the underdog to win every single time. I like Friday Night Lights that they lose and they have to live with the disappointment of we lost and then you find out that the team the next season won. I like the movie because in a lot of ways it was sort of an anti-rom-com where you don't leave the theater feeling good that everything works out, because in real life, not all your relationships end up working out. In fact, you have been in far more failed relationships than successful ones. And I think the movie does a really good job of communicating that. On Rotten Tomatoes, The Breakup has an approval rating of 34% and an average rating of 5 out of 10. The site's critical consensus reads, "This anti-romantic comedy lacks both laughs and insight, resulting in an odd and unsatisfying experience." There's no way you can tell me this movie lacks in laughs.
I think it's not, I think there are funnier rom-coms. Lacks in laughs, a little bit harsh, but at its core, I kind of agree with that. It is an anti-rom-com that you sold to me as a rom-com. Rom-coms have a certain formula, and you want to tell me that you don't watch them, or that you don't, when your wife has them on, your girlfriend, whatever, you don't watch with her because they're formulaic? Cool. But the formula works. This broke the formula, and I don't think it worked. If you're going to be different, you got to hit a home run. And this one was a bunt single, I think.
Yeah, but I think, though, and I think we do have to give them credit that I think they hit a home run, is this movie has lasted for 20 years. This movie has lasted for 20 years. This movie is still quotable 20 years.
I think it's because the ending, it's people emotional. They don't like the ending, so it's memorable for that reason.
Yeah, but I think there is a beauty in that, and why I think it has been successful, and what makes it an anti-rom-com. You and hundreds of these movies come out, and we don't talk about them. We don't remember them. The fact that this movie has still held up 20 years later is as quotable as it is 20 years later. I do think that they found something there with the formula of this movie. What do you think this movie got right?
Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn is hilarious in this movie. It's not as funny or as well done as Crashers, but it's a very similar character as far as Vince Vaughn just goes from regular talking to big booms all the time. I think it's that right. I think it gets how people go through a breakup correctly, where they, you know, fight with their spouse, and because they're fighting with their spouse, they don't trust them anymore, and they go for outside help, and outside help never works. I think those things it gets right and gets wrong. I mean, come on. I hate the ending. I just hate the ending. It does not get the ending right.
I'm going to give my what's right. I'm going to go off the beaten path here. I'm going to give it to John Michael Higgins.
Yeah, he's very good.
It is tough to be in a movie as less as he is.
It's like four scenes.
But have the impact that he has in this movie. It's really two scenes. It's the dinner scene and the Tone Ranger scene where he turns into a Power Ranger and beats Vince Vaughn up. John Michael Higgins maybe talks for 90 seconds of the movie and has one of the bigger impacts of the movie. I'm going to give it to him. Gary, on the kick drum, come. Gary. I think you and I agree with what's wrong. Cole Hauser's character is just done incorrectly.
He doesn't serve any purpose at all. None.
Almost the opposite effect that John Michael Higgins had is what Cole Hauser said. He's weird at the dinner scene. He's weird when they go out. He's not in the movie anymore. Why did you even show up to work today, my boy? Why were you here in this movie?
And he's getting a paycheck. That's good for him.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. This movie is rated 5.8 on IMDb. Is that too much, too little, or just right?
I think it's just right. There are rom-coms that are clearly superior to this, and I don't like this one. Try to be different, break the mold, the whole deal. But I don't think it's bad. There are rom-coms, we've done this on this podcast, where I'm like, I just think it's bad. I don't think this is a bad movie. I just don't think when they break the mold, they did it perfectly. So maybe it elevates to a 6, a little bit higher, and we can't do it on the podcast, and that's fine. But I think it's right in its correct range.
Yeah, I think this is too low. Now, this might surprise you. I'm not going to go astronomically higher than where it is, but I do really like this movie. I would give this movie a 6.4. I think this is a very, very funny movie.
I think 6.4 is too high. I think 6 is kind of the ceiling.
Yeah, I would give this movie a 6.4. I really, really enjoy this movie. And I think if you and I went back and we looked at rom-coms from the 2000s, I think this is one of the stronger ones and has held up the best of a lot of those movies during this time frame. I'm a big fan of this movie. You could maybe argue that this is Vince Vaughn's peak. It's probably Wedding Crashers.
I think Crashers is bigger, yeah.
But just like... You've shown an ability to do, old school, Wedding Crashers and The Breakup are three drastically different movies, and you've held up incredibly well. This is when Vince Vaughn was an A-list movie star. You can go into a studio, you can ask for $15 million.
And Dodgeball's probably in this timeline, too.
And there were a lot of people like me. I'm going to see this movie because Vince Vaughn is in this movie. Same thing with Jennifer Aniston. She made a very successful transition from being in maybe one of the most popular shows on television to now a legitimate A-list movie star, actress within her own right. They get the top two right, the chemistry between them, the laughs are there. I really enjoy this movie. It's 6.4 for me.
I do think the casting was great. I don't think it did not hit the home run I think it wanted to for me. I think it's maybe a bunt single's unfair, but if you're going to break the mold, you got to hit a home run. I just don't think it did.
Well, Rob, man, I'm not going to see you during all of February, man. Black History Month, man. We might have you come on to watch a Tyler Perry movie or something. You've never seen one before. What better way to celebrate Black History Month than you watching your first Tyler Perry movie?
I don't think I've ever seen a Tyler Perry movie. Unless you count, what's that movie with Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike where they set up the murder and he's in it?
Does that count as Gone Girl?
Gone Girl. Is that a Tyler Perry movie? He's in it.
Does that count as a Tyler Perry movie. You need to watch Madea. You need to watch one of those kind of movies. You need to watch Daddy's Little Girl. That does not count.